That's not.
It just happened, and I've watched President Leo literally die. Like, literally, they cannot take the pressure, and they exploded. And so you think that you're going to be peaceful when you get what you want, what you are. But what I found embarrassingly is through my nothingness and not getting anything and not having anything, I still have my peace.
Yeah, because your peace, because you're realizing that your peace ultimately isn't dependent on anything you thought your peace was dependent on.
Yeah, I never thought I could do that.
Well, that's the whole purpose of the course. Congratulations. now you got to do is get on the maintenance program so that you can remember.
Can I get on the what?
The maintenance program. Mm. As long as you're in the body, you have to constantly remind yourself of what of the realization. That's great. Yeah. So we're gonna be continuing the teacher's manual, and the section that we left off before was talking about how do you deal with your ego? How do you deal with your magic thoughts? So how do you deal with the part of you that gets upset? And let me see where it is.
Okay,
it's on page 44. Okay, and I'm starting the paragraph 4 at the bottom of page 44. The book's up in the cabinet.
Okay, I'll get it.
Okay. It says, perhaps it would be helpful to remember that nobody can be angry at a fact. I love that statement. That statement has saved me so much drama. I cannot believe it's like, it's a fact. It's happened. What good would it do for me to get angry about it? You know, it's like I was doing some work on the computer the other day, just yesterday, and I've been working on something, and the person accidentally didn't realize it, and they flicked the switch that controlled the electrical outlet. And then just like that, everything that I had been working on was like, it was gone, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, and I'm not at all about repressing my feelings. Don't mistake anything that I'm saying about them. I don't ever try to pretend to be positive. Okay? That's not my, I've gone through that phase of metaphysical truth, and I know it doesn't work, so I don't do it anymore. You know, it's good for people who want to do it. It's not about being positive. It's about living by the truth. You know, it's about living the stuff that we studied. It's not about being positive. Even though being positive is a cool thing, I'd rather be around a positive person than a negative person. But a person that thinks being positive is going to change their life is fooling. They're fooling themselves. Joy is internal, and what most people think of as happiness is the script that I made up for myself turned out the way I wanted it to happen today. And that form of happiness is a total illusion. And that's another thing you learn as you begin to study more in the truth, that that your happiness based on your fantasies is not real happiness. And so, because that means unless you can keep that thing and manipulate that thing the way you're manipulating it to try to keep it that way, then your happiness is going to leave. And then the truth is nobody can manipulate everything on the outer so that they can get what they want anyway. So it's a trick to even take that whole approach to happiness.
Yeah.
You know? So what happened was when the computer went out, then it's like, I just took a breath. That's my first thing now. It's like, okay, you know, take a breath and realize there's no point in me getting angry at a fact. The fact is, it's gone. All the anger in the world wasn't going to bring it back. But I didn't try to go there before I admitted to myself how I felt, which was a disappointment about this thing being gone. I wanted to pretend like I didn't want it not to be gone, but it certainly didn't make any sense to beat myself up about it. There's a Course in Miracles workbook lesson where you're supposed to say all day, whenever you think your normal crappy thoughts that come up, you're supposed to say to yourself, and that thought is an attack upon myself. And I used to have so much resistance to doing that. You know, it's like the Course says, we always do in part one. Part one is all the thoughts that we think that upset us. But we won't do part two, which is apply the truth to those thoughts. That's where people fail, right? So, yeah, maybe I'm upset about blah, 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 blah. The cleaners didn't get my clothes back on time. I forget that I'm an innocent child of God. Because you got to apply the truth to every level. If you walk around, in my perception, if you walk around and you think that there are things in the world that are too petty or mundane to apply the truth, that's another trick of your ego. Because one thing is not more important than another in the illusion. They're all equal. And so the first thing you learn is you would apply your spiritual truth to the way you look at getting a parking space as quick as you look at it to how you can evolve your soul to another level of consciousness. Because if you do that, you won't have to try to figure out in what situations should you apply the truth. the other way, you constantly setting it up where you got to go, well, is this something I should even be trying to apply the truth to? Yeah. Yeah, you apply the truth to everything, and when you make the decision to apply the truth to everything, then you don't have to figure out when to apply it. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's what the course does. Like 20, you know, this is my 27th year next month of studying this material. And I cannot tell you the difference that is made in my life, because it's always, well, it's primarily internal, not external. Even though I saw a lot of external change. But the main thing I love about it is the way it simplified things and consolidated things, and it allowed me to let the universe or God start to do things through me, for me, as gifts. And so stuff that I would see people around me struggling their butt off to make happen, I would notice that those things just seemed to naturally take care of themselves. Things would just seem to naturally fall together for me. And I was like, well, Earl, you're not thinking like the people around you. You're trying to apply these ideas. And you've seen that every time you apply these ideas, you get the result that is promising you. Which is different from when you were at the beginning of it, when you thought studying the truth meant analyzing it. So you spend all your time analyzing the concepts as opposed to applying the concepts, because you had convinced yourself that your understanding was a powerful contribution to the truth. So you thought your understanding the truth was what made the truth work. And that's not true. Your understanding of how a plane flies has nothing to do with your ability to fly to New York. So to think that you have to understand stuff before you can benefit through it is just an ego trick to slow you down. And when you're trying to learn things that are far beyond your awareness, then let go of the need to understand it, because it's beyond your awareness. You know what I'm saying? It's like, just do what it says, because what it tells you to do, it's going to always be something you can do. Like when the course actually says, I want you to do this, it's not always something you can do. But all of the theoretical framework of it may sometimes be confusing to a person. But like it says, don't get angry at a fact. And then it tells you why. He says, because what's giving you the anger, he says in the next sentence, it's always an interpretation that gives rise to negative emotions, regardless of their seeming justification by the facts. So no matter what you've done to me, it's the way that I'm interpreting what you've done to me that's making me feel the way I feel. No matter what you do to me, it's the way I interpret what you've done to me that makes me mad or makes me feel good. Everybody got that? That's why one person could touch you and you say that feels good, and if a total stranger touched you, you call the police. It's the exact same thing, you being touched. The physical act is exactly the same, you being touched. What's the difference? The difference is how you're interpreting it. Isn't it? One person I'm interpreting is that's okay to do that, the other person is doing it, I'm interpreting that is not okay to do it. But the actual act is exactly the same thing. So that's true about everything. So whatever pleasure you feel, the Course is trying to make us understand that whatever pleasure you feel, you're the one that's giving yourself that pleasure. If you were someone that you love and y'all are making love and you think it's the best thing that ever happened to you, that's you giving yourself that feeling about what's going on. It's not the other person that's giving you the feeling. They're the one the fact is that y'all doing whatever y'all's bodies are doing, and what your pleasure is coming from is the way you're interpreting it. Guess what? Same example. If it was another person that you didn't want to do that, but they were doing the exact same thing, you would want to call the police. But the act is exactly the same. And that's what the Course is trying to get us to see in terms of understanding that everything in the world is neutral. That's what it means when it says everything in the world is neutral. It's the same. It's just, how are you going to see it? It's all neutral. Nothing is bad or good in itself. There's some people that drink and they never have a problem with it. There's some people that drink and they have a problem with it. So it's not what the drinking is bad. It's you being in touch with your ability to handle it. You know. So if you try to rearrange everything in the world so that you won't give in to your own temptations and interpretations, that's an insane approach. And that's what people are trying to do now. They try to take everything and outlaw it, because then if I make it against the law, then I won't be tempted to do that. And the truth is, it's you that's giving yourself the interpretation that makes you want to do it longer than you know you should do it. It's you that's telling yourself you need to act. Now, even if someone says, well, that's a chemical reaction or whatever, still, it still becomes that person's responsibility to deal with their chemical reaction. They still are the ones that's got to deal with that genetic displacement. You know, but I don't have that problem. So don't try to cut it out for me just because you got the problem. But that's the approach that the world takes to everything. Yeah, I don't like it, so nobody better do it. You know, and then that's fine until it's some freedom that you want. Then all of a sudden, the person is all up in arms when it's a right you want. You see what I mean? So the court is saying it doesn't matter the intensity of the anger that's aroused. I don't care how mad you get, it's your interpretation that's giving rise to negative emotions. And it says it may be. Then he goes on to explain what he's talking about. You might feel slight irritation, perhaps so mild that you don't even recognize it. That's a popular among spiritual people. I'm just irritated. I'm not really mad. I'm just a little, just a little bothered. And then, it may take the form of intense rage, which is regular people, right? Accompanied by thoughts of violence. I kick your butt. Let's go over there and kick all their butts. And fantasize of who I'd like to kick your butt. Act it out. I'm kicking your butt. Right? And he says, no matter what level, it is what? An interpretation that's giving rise to that negative emotion. He says, therefore, it doesn't matter. He says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about what? It doesn't matter if you're just slightly irritated. It doesn't matter if you're feeling rage. It doesn't matter if you have thoughts of violence. It doesn't matter that you fantasize about thoughts of violence. It doesn't matter if you actually do violence. They're all, from a spiritual perspective, he's saying it's all the same. And then my ego mind went, what do you mean slight irritation is the same as violence? He says they're the same in the sense that any of those reactions obscure the truth. Yep. That when you're having any of those reactions, you're not in peace. That's how they're all the same. Not they're all the same in terms of how everybody physically experiences it, but it's all the same in that moment, you're not at peace. You've lost sight of the love that you are. See how the course is. It's like it's so awesome. It says, and this can never be a matter of degree. Either the truth is apparent or the truth isn't.
Wow.
Either it's obvious or it's not. I'm either feeling peace or I'm not. I'm aware of my abundance or I'm not. I'm aware of my health or I'm not. I'm aware that I'm loved or I'm not. It's not an in-between. Like right now, you're either feeling peace in this moment or you're not. You're either happy right now, joyful right now, or you're not. And it's not bad. It is not sinful. If you're not, you're just not. That's all. Like right now, I'm just not feeling it. You know, like some people you say that to, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could tell you I was feeling it, but I'm just not feeling it. You know what I mean? And then some people, you feel it so much that you wish you didn't feel it. You know what I mean? Like some people, you just feel it. It's just all, it's just there. You know, chemistry is not something you can make happen. That's what I noticed in my relationships. Have you noticed that? You kind of like either got the attraction or the connection, or you don't. And when you see somebody trying to make one with you that's not there, you know something, you kind of feel like, wow, you know, it's kind of fruitless, but they don't really know what they're really giving it to. Because you pretty much made your decision in the first 5 minutes. Then we do the dance to pretend like, you know, I don't want to say like I'm too easy. but I'd already made the decision at the very beginning. This is an experience that I want. This is a person that I want, whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. Then the next stage is the justification. Mm-hmm. Then I got to come up with the reason why I should do it. So the court says what we do is we make our decisions first, then we ask God. That's what everybody does. They make their decision first, and then they say, Spirit, how can you da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? So, isn't that the truth? Yeah, he says, then when Spirit says, when we get an answer back different from what we made up to be, he says we feel attacked, and then we get defensive. You know, like people ask me questions, and then I answer the question, and they get defensive. I know they already had made up their mind before they asked me the question what the answer was, and then what I said wasn't what they had made up in their mind. And so then they say, well, what? You know, what about? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, why didn't you just say what about? Blah, 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 in the first place? Mm-hmm. You know, because you already had an idea of what you wanted me to say, and I didn't say it. And so, the course then says, you cannot partially recognize the truth. It's who is unaware of the truth must look upon illusions. So if I'm not aware of the truth of this situation, I've got to see what's not true in this situation. See how logical that is. If I don't see what's true about you, there's nothing left but what's not true about you. There's nothing left. There's no in-between. Either I see what's true about you, or I'm seeing what's not true about you. Either I'm aware of the truth or I'm unaware of the truth. Now, this is what's maddening about it, though. The Course says we're split in half. There are two of us. There's really one of us, but we do it like it's two of us. So when I'm at my spiritual mind, like when I'm sitting in the class right now, then I love everybody, everything's cool. I only want the highest thoughts. I only want to love everybody. I want responsibility. I want to create my reality. Yes, it is me that's creating my reality. I'm the one that, you know, it's like I'm really happy, right? And then the other part of me don't believe any of it. So, and it also has its identity. So the temptation when I leave out the door is to go back into the part of me that's completely adapted to the world. And I'll say and do things from that Earl that will shock y'all. Just like y'all will say and do things from that that I know would shock me. You go right from this, from communicating as if we're one, to go right out there to... We all do it. And see, that's the course called the split mind. He said, we got one. And if you forget that everybody you know has one, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get your feelings hurt. And because unless that person knows that they're one with you and that you really are them, which would really have a different... It would be a different type of conversation if I thought I was you than the kind of conversation I would have with you if I thought I wasn't really you. You would have a different way of talking. First of all, if I love myself and you were part of me, I wouldn't do anything to you that I wouldn't want done to me, and I'd give you everything that I wanted to experience myself, and I'd look out for you like I was looking out for me because you are me. That's why you can always, just how you can always tell, and I'm going to give you what I want. So I want freedom, you and me, I'm going to give you freedom too. You know what I'm saying? If I'm in lack, then I need to give to myself. And if I do give to myself, give to you, I'm giving to myself. So whatever I give to you, I didn't give to somebody else. I gave to myself, and so it would come back to me. See, it's a whole different way of thinking. You know, if you are me, then anything you do to me, then I had something to do with it because you're me. Okay, hold just a second. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to let you have it. You know what I'm saying? That's the way you would communicate if you knew there was one. You would always think in terms of what you're doing to that other person is something that you're doing to yourself. That'd be your bottom. And so you would give what you wanted to receive. Now, for me to see you that way, I certainly have to go beyond your bodies and your race. That's just right off the bat. Because if I dealt with you all in terms of being women and men and your bodies and your race, it's obvious I'm in the separated mind. And if I'm in the separated mind, then I think when I give to you, I don't have. If I'm in the separated mind, I think we're in competition. If we're in the separated mind, you might hurt me. If we're in the separated, you see what I'm saying? I got to look out for my good because it's not enough for both of us. Separated mind goes, I love you, nobody else better love you because there's somebody else out there to take my love. You see what I'm saying? Separated mind always takes you to pain. And the Course says there's a world that goes with the separated mind. So this is the world that goes with the separated mind. That's the world we're in right now. Because everything I just said, don't you agree that's exactly the way it's generally seen? Okay, so then we know we've already made a world based on separation. But what the Course is saying, which is a trip, is that I know this is going to blow your mind, but there's also a world just as real, if not realer than this one, that's based on that conversation I had with you at first. And the reason why we don't experience it is because we're in the separated thought system. So to go to the other reality, I have to go to another thought system. And what makes it a challenge is while I'm shifting to the new thought system, I still have a lot of the old thought system. As a matter of fact, it looks like I'm trying to shift to the new thought system while I'm in the old thought system. And the Course says that's why you need help, and that's what he calls the Holy Spirit, the part of you that knows about the new thought system, and that's the part of you that's divine, and the part of you that can take you to the new thought system. But we can't take us there because we don't know how to do it. It's just that simple. So then our ego takes over and it says, well, I tell you what, your old self says, well, I know you want to go to truth. I'll take you. Now, I don't know nothing about love. I don't know nothing about what it is, but I'm going to heal you and I'm going to take you to enlightenment. And the Course says, when that happens, your ego leads you directly into fear. And so what happens is all the truth that you're learning becomes confusing and becomes frightening. Instead of making you feel good, it makes you feel like crap. You know what I'm saying? That's how you can tell when your ego is leading you on your spiritual path. The part of you that you trying to get rid of has gotten back. But only this time, it's taking you to God. Before, it was just taking you to the movie. Now this part of you is going to go, I don't know a damn thing, but I'm going to take you to God. I don't love nobody, but I'm going to teach you what love is. This is like how we go to friends and relatives who aren't loving to ask them about love. or you ask somebody who doesn't have any idea about abundance how to be rich. You know, the reason why I can teach this, whether I have these qualities or not, is because I'm a messenger. I'm not pretending like I'm the one that's sourcing the material. That's the difference. I'm learning just as much as you are. So now, your question.
It was another layer.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
I think it's an ego thought.
Okay. We've had those.
Yeah. I've had a couple today.
Uh-huh.
Just a couple. I was just kind of hitting a place where I'm really trying to connect with the giving and the receiving space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was observing that universal law doesn't apply to some people. Like, seemingly.
I love that. That's great.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, some people are outside of universal law. Yeah. The truth works on everybody but them.
They never see the effects of what they do to other people.
Right now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's so awesome. Like, I want to learn their secret, you know, or they must be masters or something.
But you better believe they don't have any peace.
Yeah, they don't have any peace.
That's right.
And I understand that, but it's like, I just, you know, there's still, like, my own, like, victim, like, mm-hmm. lack, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, why does she get to do it and I don't?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
why does she get to do what you don't?
Why does she get to have people be accepting of whatever her behavior is and... You know, like.
Here's the answer from a metaphysical perspective. It would be that she believes it.
Yeah.
She believes that people should accept her regardless of what she does. Mm-hmm. At some level. Maybe not at a conscious level. Not if you walked up here and asked her, she might not be able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can always be rest assured that what a person is experiencing is a reflection of their thought. So even if they're not conscious of it, because we're not always...
It's my own guilt that makes me not able to...
Right. It's as you continue to remove the blocks to your love, to your nature, who you are, mm-hmm. then you will also find more and more people being accepting of you for real. Now, I would venture to say, and this is just my observation, that even though it looks like people are accepting her, if she didn't act out their script or whatever it was that they needed to have then they wouldn't be also acting that way too. Because the Course says that at the level of separated minds, you don't love people, you bargain with them.
Yeah.
And you call it love. That everything we do is a bargain. Right. So I'll be there for you if you're there for me. I love you as long as you don't do such and such a thing. You know, it's like it's a bargain. That's why marriage is called a contract.
So what do I do about my own ego just kind of coming up in that? Because I'm just like,
okay,
I won't give me, right.
Because the universe doesn't want to support the idea that your fulfillment comes from outside of yourself. You made the mistake of saying you wanted to really be happy. And would you really want to go for your awakening? Okay, so when you say you want to go for what's true, then that means you want to have everything that's not true revealed to you and removed.
Okay,
so what's not true is that your happiness comes from anything outside yourself. So therefore, for the universe to support that by trying to manipulate the outer so you will feel good, it would further make you think that you needed to have something outside of yourself in order for you to feel centered.
I would be tricked into an illusion.
Yeah. Then you, in other words, you just been another form of illusion. See, saying that you want to wake up to who you truly are and get in touch with your most powerful spiritual identity, that's different from saying I want to manifest a car. That's different from saying I want to manifest a lover, I want to manifest a soulmate, I want to manifest a house. Okay? That's a totally different thing. And that's what the course is about, knowing the truth of what's going on for real. Manifesting is about having a fantasy fulfilled. Those are two different things. So she seems, in my perception, she seems to be getting the results of her thought, because it's not really about waking up. She just believes that that should be that way, and it will. You went, I want to know a peace that never ends. I want to know a safety that cannot be affected by anything. Oh, well, you're talking about a whole different program here. The secret class is down the hall. The waking up to who you are and not going through pain ever, that's this class. But in order to get to that point, you have to have truths revealed to you that will be very challenging to come to recognize. And that's why most people bail. That's why, you know, I don't care how much people say they love my class, they always change. Because at some point a person gets, you know what, I'm going to really have to do some work. I'm going to have to really do some serious, you know, not kidding around to get to where I'm going. I'm not saying that's why people don't come. I'm just saying that there's fewer people that ever go for the real truth than people that go for manifesting things that they like to play with. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to manifest things that you like to play with. It's great. I think it's beautiful to have the stuff you like. It means you're going to learn. There's nothing wrong with learning, you know, driving down the street in a vet. You know what I'm saying? I can remember you, the child of God, in my BMW. You know what I'm saying? It's not so, you know, so I don't have a problem with that, if that, you know, but I'm just at a point I could never make that my goal. I couldn't get up in the morning and say, my goal is to manipulate everything I can today so I can have a BMW. Because I manifest a BMW and still be crazy. Still be insecure, still be jealous, still be all that stuff. And it would be nice to ride down with the BMW. But why not go, let me correct my perception of who I am, recognize that I am the creator, and then just watch everything be attracted and magnetized to me as if by magic because of who I am. See, that's what this is talking about. That the once we get in touch with who we truly are, then just being who we are will be sufficient to attract all the abundance and the love and the relationships and the fulfillment that we need. You won't have to sit down and specifically go, well, I need to try to work on my relationship, and what can I do about my finances, and let me see if I can get rid of the stuff that I think my uncle did to me when I was 6. You know what I'm saying? I got all this. He said, well, if you were to remember who you are, then all of those things would be corrected automatically. And I went, wow, that sounds like a much better deal than just keep on dealing with one little thing after another. Right? But then he says also in the book but it's okay to apply the truth to one little thing after another. So you win either way. So if you do want to apply it to your bank account, then apply it to your bank account. Okay, now how would I do that? Well, if one of the lessons is all that I give is given to myself, which means all the love I give is given to myself, all the fear I give is given to myself, it's the truth, so I can drop it down to any level. So that means all the money I give to myself. See, the law is the same no matter what. What do you mean? I'm saying your financial situation is a reflection of your prosperity consciousness. And what you are receiving is what you think you deserve to receive. That's what you're giving to yourself. And people go, oh, I know I want more than that. I know I want more than the money that I'm making right now. Okay, that's the old thought system. Now you're saying that you're a victim of external situations that's making you poor. Is that right? Yeah. For black men in America, it's hard. Okay, so if I take that attitude, then I'll meet every person in America that makes it hard for black men in America. I can count on it. They'll show up. You know, I'll be sleeping one day and some Klansmen will walk in and take the class. You know, it'll just be right there in front of me. When I played in the band one time, I was the only black guy in the band. I never forget that. About 18, 19. And we had to play for the special thing, and it was out in the country. And I mean, damn, if it wasn't the Ku Klux Klan. They did not know, you know, because they didn't think that, they didn't know it was a black person in there after, you know, I played saxophone. It was me and the black singer. And so I'm sitting up there. Did you imagine? I'm in the South. That's where I grew up. I'm like, all right. Boy, I played my ass off that night. I didn't know I had it in me, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? Nothing happened.
Yeah.
They were totally cool because I wasn't a racist. It was so weird. Or I wouldn't even been in a band where I was the only black dude. You see what I'm saying? So how could I be in a band without a racist attitude and then attract racists to me? And even if I did, they'd go, you know, I normally don't like niggas, but I like you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to say something. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna say for you they broke their rule. Mm-hmm. And y'all have all had that situation where people that people swore was not kind people for some reason was nice to you. You know, why? Because of you. That was a reflection of your consciousness. And I like to believe that, right? But I don't want to believe that if it means I've got to accept that the other things that people do to me is also my consciousness. I like this when it's the cool stuff. I don't like this when it's the stuff that I don't like. Okay? All right? So that's, but you don't go to the new world until you can get to the point that you go, it's true of everything. That you know, but you don't have to understand how. I used to say, I don't know how I created that. I don't know how I attracted that. I don't know how I manifested that, but I manifested that. And that's what I would do with everything. I'm mad right now. I don't know how I did that, but somehow or another I did it. And you know what? And what happened after a while was all the stuff that used to come up to irritate me in everyday life started to go away. Like I heard horror stories about the DMV going down there to get your driver's license in Denver. You know, I walked in there to get my license renewed, and I was out of there within 30 minutes. And then the very next day, I read a story in the paper about the people were complaining about how many hours and hours that they were down there. And I was like, isn't that interesting that Spirit sent me down there at the exact window that there was nobody to deal with? You know, because the once you start to love yourself, that it starts to permeate every level that you exist on, not just your so-called spiritual level. And that's what I get into in advanced mind training, because in advanced mind training, it's not that much different from what we're doing here, except we got more time. And so we can discuss more, we can talk more, I can show people more about how to apply it to their everyday life. You know, it's just a much more, and I got some related stuff I can bring. It's just more in depth where I don't feel so rushed to deal with stuff. And that's the only difference. Like when people say, what you doing in AMT? It's just deeper, longer, you know, and more in depth. And I'm going to have one the first, it's limited enrollment, and I'm going to have the first one on the first Saturday in November, and it's from 10 to 3, so people can sleep in the morning and have the rest of the day after 3 o'clock. So it's from 10 to 3, it's $50, and I do credit cards too, and if you want to come, then the way you assure yourself a place in it is just to pay in advance. Then you got it. You got it done. Okay, and so if you want to do that, I just announced it at the end of the class. So you can start. You know, those who want to do it, we can do it. Because I got something I'm going to introduce to the group that is very powerful and that I've never talked about before in class. So that's the first Saturday in November.
So is it a group thing?
It's just like this. It's like people who want to come, we all get together and we study together. And I'm just able to go deeper than I'm able to do here. But the difference is that I try to put the emphasis on practical application of the idea. So it's just not another head trip. It's like, okay, this is what I need to do when I walk out of the door to deal with situations and circumstances. Brother, what was your question?
Well, usually you kind of answered it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea. I was always troubled when I was in other programs, when I would hear things like, love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's part of me that would say, why would I want to treat anybody like that?
I get that totally.
So what I'm getting from you today is that sense that all that I give is given to myself, and it's impossible to see two worlds.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you don't get there until you accept that you didn't create yourself, and you are a holy, loving child of God.
Right.
So without self-love,
nothing happens. Everything starts with two things. Well, the course would say everything starts with this, resigning as your own teacher. Okay. In other words, trust, learn how to get in touch with the part of you that does know. Not the part of you that's afraid, and let the part of you that's afraid be your teacher. Let the part of you that you don't know about, which the course is about, calls the Holy Spirit, our God selves. You know, and that's one thing I love about the South is that even though there's a lot of conservative, fearful religious beliefs, that the idea of God permeates the South. Mm-hmm. And I love that about the South. You know, somebody's going to say, you got to go to the Lord, you got to ask the Lord what to do, you got to go to God, you got to go to Jesus, da, da, da. So what are they saying? They all got an idea that there's some invisible presence greater than themselves that they need to go to for guidance. We're in the rip-roaring West, where everybody wants to be autonomous and on their own and do their own thing, you know, which is good. But what I see is that they tend to leave out God. It's all about how can I master everything on my own, by myself, through my own wits. So I'm going to go to workshops that make me smarter. I'm going to, you know, it's very seldom you hear people go, I prayed last night about blah, 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 blah. You almost never hear it out here. You know, everybody's about, I'm rough and tough. I got to do it on my own, you know, and it's so hard that way. So I love the open-mindedness, but I wish I saw more of a belief in a higher power that people would acknowledge. Everybody say they believe, but it's just in the South. You know, like I was in the hospital visiting a relative, and you know, right before everybody walked out the door, you know, just spontaneously, a person said, "Hey, you know, let's grab hands and pray." Mm-hmm. And then they did like a 5-minute prayer. That would never happen up here that often. Nobody grabbed you by the hand and said, "Let's pray." You know, and again, that's not a judgment. I love the freedom of this part of the country. I just wish, I want to marry the two. I want to have the God consciousness without the guilt and the fear mixed with the open-mindedness and the freedom I experience out west. I want the marriage of both of those, because together you got an unbeatable reality. So I keep hoping I'll attract people to my class that really want to touch the higher power. You know, more so than how can I become strong by myself again? You know, that's what I ask Spirit for every day. Because our relationship with our Creator is the most important relationship we can establish. And that's not a man, it's not a goddess, and it's not a god. And it is a god, and it is a goddess. Isn't that interesting? The paradox of it. You know. Because to go to one extreme doesn't balance the other extreme. And so a lot of times I meet the people in the goddess trip that are anti-male energy. Mm-hmm. So they're making the same mistake on the other side, but they feel like they're balancing it. It's like, no, when you got it, you feel peace about both sides, and you feel peace about the male and the female energy, and you feel peace about knowing that you're both of them and you are neither of them.
I call it changing seats on the bus.
Yeah, I just switched from the God seat to the goddess seat, but I'm on the same bus, still headed in the same direction. And I can certainly understand a person wanting to emphasize the feminine in a very masculine-oriented dream. So I can understand it. But in terms of the level we're going to, none of that matters. Where we're going to, none of that matters. Mm-hmm. If we're all it, because we're all one, none of it really matters. You as much male as you are female. I'm as much female as you are female. I just have another way I'm expressing my energy, and it seems to be in a male body this time.
But that's the energy down here. We distinguish male or female, and it's just an idea. Like, what is feminine? We just made that up.
This is the level of interpretations, naming, and labeling. This is what the course says. That's all this is. This is what I call the name plane. Okay. This is just the plane that everybody gives different names to everything in order to separate it from each other, to separate us from each other. Instead of us being both children of God that are living beings, loving beings, I become a black man, you become a white woman. See, that's just why, because that's what we just named each other. And then with that name goes all kinds of scripts and expectations and responsibilities. So it's like, I know that the person that I would be with in a romantic one-on-one special relationship, whatever you want to call it, would always be a person who knew they weren't their body, who knew they weren't a man or a woman. Because I don't care where love comes. I just want love. I'm not going to even label what sex love should come through. It can come through a cat, it can come through a bird, it can come through a man, it can come. Love can come to me through anything. But I know that if I hook up with a person who believes they are separate, and they are a body, and they are a man, or they are a woman, and that is their core identification of their self, I know that to get in an intimate relationship with them is going to be unpeaceful. Because they're going to have, first of all, they don't see themselves as one with me, so that means they're going to have some fear of loss, which means they're going to think it's somebody else, which means they're going to have their defensiveness and their caution and their, you know, so all of that dance goes with thinking that we're separate. So I've met people who are in male and female bodies who know they're not male and female bodies. And I get a chance to have the higher level of relationship and all the pleasures of the physical relationship too. So I don't lose anything. They're sane and they're in the human body. You okay? But when I used to go for just the body, then I had to deal with all the insanity that went with a person who didn't know their spiritual identity. So, but my ego would tell me, well, Earl, you know, to be spiritual, you got to give up the pleasures of the flesh, only if you're listening to the wrong God. Why would you have a body if you weren't supposed to experience it? That's just logical. Why would you have a body if you weren't supposed to experience it? But not in guilt and fear and anger and attack. That's what the Course is saying. So get rid of the guilt around the body. It's just about what do you want to use the body for. The body is neutral. And it is possible to be around people with bodies and they're sane. So you can have the pleasures, whether it's dancing, outdoors, eating, going out, whatever you do. As well as be able to do what we're doing right now. See, this is an example of it. We all got bodies, but in this moment, we're all coming from a higher place of communication. And I'm saying that that could be just as true of what you would think of as a mate or a partner. You could have, just like it's a group of people doing this with you, you could have one person doing it with you in a one-on-one relationship with you. There is no sacrifice on this path. It's just people who are afraid to actually do it. You know? Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw any of it, that PBS special on World War II.
No, I didn't say, I haven't seen it.
Oh. So the whole idea that there's, and he put it together to blow up to the idea that there's a good war. Because there was stuff there, like Eli massacres everywhere. And, mm-hmm. stuff. And I was getting really challenged.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that's coming out.
That's right.
And so it was hard. I said, okay, well, Earl would say this is a huge intergalactic call for love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's, this is separate to the mass. And then
yeah.
when they hit the towns that had the ovens,
mm-hmm.
extermination
mm-hmm.
stuff, Holocaust, that was really tough. That was really tough. And then this one colonel in this town, the people in the town were saying, what? Oh, we didn't know that was going on. See, but you could smell the camp
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did?
What?
And the people in the town buried those bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, he had a way of stopping the separateness.
Mm-hmm.
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
You knew this crap was happening, and now we're all going to own that this happened to human beings
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And he handled it differently than the other commanders who went kind of nuts and stuff. But just, it was harder. Without you saying that one time when mm-hmm. you said... when the tsunami hit,
mm-hmm.
and you said that's a big, huge intergalactic call for love,
mm-hmm.
what you called it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in tragedy is when my ego wants to jump in and say, see, I told you so. This is a real world sucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You always, people say, wake up, stop being a Pollyanna, get real. I've heard all that kind of stuff. You know, if you're trying to come from a loving space, and they say, well, you know, people are going to take advantage of you. You know, if that's your belief, then you're going to attract the people who are going to take advantage of you. See, people don't get that. It's your core belief. It's what you're going to perceive. So that don't mean because you look at it, you know, that way. And you, of course, you're going to get proven that that's true for you, so you're going to feel justified because you're going to attract the person who's going to take advantage of you. And then you get a chance to say, see, I was right. But you know what? I'm not. And if they do show up, I'm going to go, well, okay, what was the lesson in this that God wants me to learn? What was the reason why I attracted that to myself? How can I look at that differently? See, that's different, because if I do it that way, then I can learn the lesson. He says, if you learn the lesson, there's no need to have the situation present itself again, because you got the lesson. So instead of defending about whether or not I created it, I'm busy going, how can I see this another way so this crap will never happen again? You know, what do I need to know in this moment so I'll never have this kind of relationship again? That's what I'm not who's to blame, but what was I thinking that got me into this? That's what Earl always wants to know. The blame game is old to me because it don't work. You know, it's not that it's bad or good. It just don't work. And the Course says you won't stop something until you see it doesn't work. That as long as you label it as bad or good, you keep on doing it. But when you go, this doesn't work, then he says, then your mind will want to come to a screeching halt. Getting drunk doesn't work. It's better than getting drunk is something I feel guilty about. Because if you feel guilty about it, you're going to get drunk again and get over your guilt. You know, I'm feeling bad, so I'm going to take some more so I can feel better. You know what I mean? You know, but if I was to go, you know what? This doesn't work. It's not going to take me to where I want to go. Then each time you do that, even though it might be a gradual change, you'll find that at some point it'll lose its attractiveness to you because it won't get, you know, hating white people, hating other people of other race, hating other, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I still see a lot of, in the South, it's like I heard black and white more in the 2 weeks I was in the South than I've heard those two terms in the last 3 years. it's because in the South, everything is looked at in terms of race first. First your race, and then after your race, we'll deal with whatever else. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be my one black friend. You know, you'll be my one white friend. White friend, not friend. White friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everything is very racially oriented in the South. And you know what? It doesn't work. That's what you have to realize, is that it just won't work. It, in terms of bringing together the races or creating any kind of peace, it just won't work. Whether it's the black folk doing it or the white folk doing it. And so when you realize it doesn't work, then you'll stop. But if somebody tells you it's wrong to be racist, you don't stop. Because, I mean, we've been told stuff is wrong as long as we've been on the planet, that we still do. So we know that being told something is wrong don't stop us necessarily. Or, you know, this is be real. Think about how many things you do in a day that you said you wasn't going to do. So, you know, knowing better doesn't have anything to do with doing better. It's just that a person doesn't do better until they see that what they're doing is going to accomplish their goal. You know? When you know that it's going to accomplish your goal, you're more likely to really do it and benefit from it. But because it's not the right thing to do doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, anyway, this it's easier than we make it. It's easier than we make it. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take a few minutes and let's do the love offering. And then I'm going to come back and let's see if we can get the thing that we need to take out into the lab to work with today. It's on page 144. I also particularly want you here to study the course for a long time, because it gets to the point where you kind of wish people would fool you. You kind of wish they would do something that you didn't predict that they were going to do. Because the course is so good at psychology and giving you the psychology of how the mind works, that when you study the course, you literally become such an expert of how the separated mind works that you know exactly what people are going to do before they do it. You just don't know what appearance it's going to take. Then you also know who really believes what they're saying and who don't. You also know who really means what they say. All of a sudden, it's something you used to have to ask people, or you would have to try to see if you could trust them before you could find out. They don't have to say anything to you, and you would know whether or not where they were. Between the combination of your inner guide, the Holy Spirit telling you, just like I'm talking to you right now, that's what my guide talks to me. And sometimes I do what it says, sometimes I don't. When I don't, I suffer. When I do, everything goes great. Okay. So I still might hear the answer and still do something different. So you can't judge whether or not a person has guidance by always how they act. Because we're just like children. You tell your children what to do, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. We're the same way, but that doesn't mean we didn't get the message, you see. And so so what happens is that it makes you better, it makes you more discerning about your relationships, because you'll find that a person who says they love their life, if you really talk to them, it'll be a person who's talking about their relationships. Mm-hmm. And when people say they had a good time, you'll find that they were talking about their relationships with what happened. They went out of town and it was a great trip. What they're really talking about is what they experienced in their relationships with the things around them on that trip. You'll find out one day that everything is relationships. So you'll become much more discerning about your relationships and what you give in your relationships and what kind of relationships you allow to come into your life. All of a sudden you just become more picky, because you know that the most important gift that a person can give to you is a reminder of your innocence and your beauty and your value. And so you realize anybody that's around you that's not appreciating you or reminding you of your value, the course would call them valueless. Not because they inherently don't have value. They're just not valuable to you. Because if they're not a reminder of the thing you need to remember about yourself, since it's all about remembering ourselves, then the person is actually taking you away from your goal instead of helping you achieve your goal. So if I come to this class today and I know it's about me loving myself and loving you, and then I'm hanging out with a person that's telling me I ought to hate you and that I'm not any good myself, and they're telling me what's wrong with me, then I am not supporting the idea that's going to transform my life. It doesn't mean that person is evil. It just means they're not helpful. They're not helping me move. So what do you do in a situation like that? You tell the truth about what your goal is. You know, right now, what I'm really trying to do right now is just really remember that I'm love and that love is real. And if they tell you're stupid and you're crazy, that's some weird stuff, well, then you don't pursue the conversation. You got a choice to make. You know, am I going to support this or am I not? And sometimes, you know, going for your prosperity and happiness, I'm finding that it takes courage. And that everybody's not going to like you, and everybody's not going to understand you. And so if you make that a condition of your spiritual growth, it'll be very slow. You know, I just made a realization today that I want to live by, but I can't live it until you tell me it's okay, that you say it's valuable. And that's what most people do. They constantly need somebody else to tell them it's okay. Right, they want approval. Right, we all got that part. So why not make it easier on yourself by surrounding yourself in your personal life, your friends, you know, your family. Sometimes it seems like you don't have that choice. Your friends are totally your choice. That's one area that I never understand, when people act like they can't get it together with their friends, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, you know, what do you mean? Your friends, that's a choice. You know, if this person is that much of a pain in the butt and there's nothing you can do to have peace with each other, will you please tell me why you're trying to maintain that? Why? It's not your son. It's not your mama. It's not your daughter. It's not your father. I kind of see how the family stuff is, but your friends? What would be the point of having a friend that you conflict with all the time? And that's you know that's a choice. So is that person reinforcing your innocence? Is that person reinforcing your guilt? That's what you ask yourself. Is this person reinforcing my innocence? Or is this person, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. I'm not saying that sometimes I don't need correction. But you can correct me in a loving way. You can correct me in a way that supports who I am. And so I had to start loving myself enough to go, you know what? This isn't helpful. I love you, but this isn't helpful. And then I would literally say sometimes, you know, it doesn't work for me to have blah, 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 blah. You don't have to change. I'm not asking you to change. I'm just telling you that if this continues to happen, I'm going to choose out. You don't have to change, though. And you're perfect just the way you are. But it don't work for me. So what I'm going to do is, if that would be too much of a sacrifice for you to make a shift in that way, I am. Because some relationships you have to do that with. You just can't sit around and wait for them to get it. Because if they got it, they wouldn't be so miserable. So why are you waiting on a person who's totally unconscious to all of a sudden wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm really doing everybody wrong around me. You know, it's like, it's going to happen sooner or later, but it might happen 3 lifetimes from now if you believe in reincarnation. It's going to happen, but do you have to wait around for it to happen? No, you don't. You don't have to wait around. Not if you've given it all you got.
Mm-hmm. What is the release prayer?
I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. It's at the end of chapter 15. Okay, right before chapter 16 starts. That's the one that works. This worked to me the best with people that I have a challenge with. Just to silently say, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize that we will be released together. If you say that until you feel some kind of a shift inside of you, that's how you know. It's funny. You know when you said something the number of times you should say it, not by the way the other person responds, but by the way you feel after a certain period of time of saying it. See, it's on page 329. Yeah, that's what the course is about. Like, you can just take this one prayer and forget everything else I've said, and just go all the rest of today, or just say this week, and whatever comes up, I'm gonna say. And if you got a problem with the Holy Spirit, you can say God, you can say love, you can say the universe, you can say spirit. You know what it's talking about. And so you can use the word that you feel comfortable with. But if you were to do that for a week, every time you got upset with somebody, you would be amazed at the change in your own consciousness in 1 week. 1 week. 1 week. if you did it consistently. The challenge is to do it more than once, because what most people do is they half-heartedly say something one time, and then they expect their whole experience to shift, and if it doesn't, they'll say the course doesn't work. They'll go, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize that we will be released together. Okay, first of all, I got to say it enough to learn it by heart, which means that's going to help me remember just the fact that I can say it by heart, right? And if that became your first response, give me to the Holy Spirit, Father, myself. You know, even be mad saying, I'm going to give you to the Holy Spirit, Father, myself. And if that's the best you can do, you still won. I'm telling you. I'm not talking theoretical stuff, you all. I declare I'm not. I'm talking fact. I'm talking stuff that I know work because of what I've seen in people's lives that I taught over the last 20 years and in my own. The only people that this doesn't work with are the ones who don't do it. And they just analyze it. They analyze it. Mm-hmm.
You know, even reading that prayer, I mean, the fear it brings up mm-hmm. is like pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is fearful about that prayer?
I'll have to give up the things I don't want to.
And what is it that you think you would have to give up that you don't want to give up?
Relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what you want to remind yourself of is that what you want to give up first instead of the relationship is your perception of the relationship. So the course works at the level of, like say, interpretation first. So when you talk about releasing a relationship, that's really what happens as the last resort. It's not the thing that you don't walk out and go, well, I got to get rid of that. No, what you would do first would go, I'm going to, first of all, before I make any really big shifts, I'm going to allow myself to remember the truth for myself first, which would be, let me try this prayer consistently. You know, so let me love myself more. Let me realize the truth about me more. You know, and start there first, rather than trying to make a radical change in anything on the outer first. And so when it says I give you to the Holy Spirit, it's saying, that's what it's saying, I want to give you to the answer. I want to give you to the solution. So the first thing I want to do in my relationship with you is give you to love, give you to God, you know, so that I won't be in prison. I want to give you to something higher than me and let something higher than me handle this first. You see what I mean? And so one good thing to remember when you set in the course, that's why I love questions, is that whenever you feel fear, when you hear something in the course, try to remember that means that your ego has just interpreted what you just heard. That you didn't hear it correctly, because if I heard it correctly, the Course says it always gives you peace. Like Matt, the interpretation that I just gave you, did that not take away some of the fear?
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
see what you
did.
You see?
It released it.
Uh-huh, that's what I'm saying. And that's what a correct interpretation will always do. It'll always make you feel like there's no loss and there's no sacrifice. So whenever you hear anything, and your first feeling is that it's that resistance, and I'm going to lose, and I'm going to hurt, then you just say, oh, you know, I misinterpreted this. My ego isn't trying to fool me. It's trying to make me think that this book is saying that I got to give up something I don't really want to give up yet. And so whenever you say that, whenever it looks like you got to give up something that you don't want to give up yet, you can always be rest assured it's your ego trying to trick you, because the Course never asks you to give up anything that you don't want to give up. As a matter of fact, it says it in the beginning of the teacher's manual, you keep what you do want, give away what you don't want. And he said, what could be easier than that? Because if I give it away and I don't want it, that's no sacrifice. If I keep it because I do want it, that's a blessing. You see what I mean? So if I'm talking to a person and they say, you know, I got this relationship and I just can't give it up, you know, I say, well, keep it. Keep it. Because right now, you really want to have that relationship, no matter how much you think you're going through pain in it. If you're looking at it as a sacrifice to let it go, then you need to keep it. And then what do you mean keep it? Keep it. And then practice the truth in it to the best of your ability. But keep it. Because at the time, you know, we all have had this experience and we've lived long enough. When you reach your limit, you're through. And all of us have done that. When you actually reach it, it is no sacrifice.
Right. Right.
So if you can't go, this is it, and you're okay about it, then obviously you're not ready to let it go yet, so don't. Because the conflict comes from telling yourself you need to let it go, but you don't really want to. It'd be much better to say, I really want it. And there's something else I want to do in it. There's some more energy I want to put into it. But the difference is, though, I'm going to put this into it. I'm not going to put the old stuff into it. I'm going to put this new stuff into it. And just watch what happens. You innocent. All right? So tomorrow night's the next class. And then Sunday.